Hello.
We're here.
Oh, hi. Hi, Scott Schaefer here.
Hey, Scott. Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi. Thanks so much for getting back to me. Well, first of all, let me just ask you I've been reading your comments. What are your thoughts about the impact? And I'm wondering, you know, particularly on California, is there something in particular that this meant or means to California?
Well, first of all, we think it's a great victory for America's families throughout our country. We're so blessed in our community in California with so many people, so many more people will benefit from the legislation. It's a very California-oriented bill, in my view, in this respect. It's innovative. It's about wellness. It's about prevention. It's about the good health of our people in addition to good health care. And many of the organizations that have for a long time advocated for increased access, improved quality, and lower cost are very active in California. So California has been an intellectual resource in it, has been an inspirational resource in terms of the spirit of entrepreneurship that is supported by people having the freedom to change jobs, create a business, be self-employed, play music, write poetry, whatever their aspirations or their talents take them.
And wear purple shoes if they want, right?
Yeah, there you go, my good luck shoes. But, you know, you can take it one piece at a time. But our state, and in particular San Francisco, is blessed with many creative people. And their creativity sometimes is constrained by their need to hold down another job just to have health benefits rather than fully dig into their artistic and creative pursuit. That creativity is important to our economy, north and south, but as I represent San Francisco, I saw the need for us to have health care for all Americans, as San Francisco being a model and leading the way with initiatives in our own city. But also, as I talk to people and small business owners, some small business owners I know, when I talk to them about it, they have to have another job in order to get health care, health insurance, because they can't afford to give it to themselves, or they'll give it to their own workers, but they won't take it for themselves. It's an amazing thing. I mean, so in any event, for practical reasons, for creative reasons, fiscal reasons, it was really very important that we do this. And I wasn't surprised that it was upheld. I always said it was going to be 6-3. I gave one of the justices more credit than I think I should have.
Well, and surprising in that configuration, wasn't it? Because if somebody had said it's a 5-4 ruling and it's written by Roberts, you'd think it was bad news, right?
I always had confidence in Roberts in this respect. And I've written op-eds about this and the rest. His decision and his writing on the majority decision is consistent with his writings on the subject of the court's role and what it's the extent of the court's role. And he was true to his beliefs, his writings, and his statements on the subject. So I always felt confident about if this were fair and square, if justice were to prevail, I felt that we had a very good shot. Not regarding what he thought of the policy, but what he thought of the constitutionality of it.
Yeah, and in fact, at the end, he said this says nothing about whether we think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
What they did say is that this is a tax, and that's why it's constitutional. Do you think it's a tax?
I don't care. I mean, I shouldn't say it quite that way. The way we wrote it in the House really was similar to what he described. I wouldn't say whether it's a tax or not. I would say it's goodbye to the no riders. I mean, the free riders. There are people who are free riders who now have a responsibility to have health insurance or pay a penalty to do so because you're a healthy young person. You have resources. You just decide you're not going to pay for health insurance. You get sick, you get in an accident or something, your health care costs are a burden to everybody else. You know, you go to the emergency room, whatever it is, That's a cost to everybody else. It increases everybody else's cost. It's just not fair, especially if you multiply it by many, many, many people. Just the very people who need to be in the health insurance pool are the ones that could opt out because they feel invincible. And then they're just the ones that I've had it flowing through my office, people who never thought they'd get breast cancer or never thought they'd be in an accident or never thought they'd get a diagnosis of rare blood, this or that. And then they're up the creek. Anyway, the point being, you can call it whatever you want, but it is a penalty for free riders who want to only have benefit, get health care without paying for health insurance, increasing the cost of others.
Now, as you well know, you and your party paid a huge price for this in 2010. So do you now see it as a plus going into the 2012 election in terms of Congress?
Well, let me disagree with that stipulation. I think that we lost the election because there's 9.5% unemployment. I defy you to show any circumstance, maybe except for Franklin Roosevelt during the Great Depression, where incumbents do well with 9.5% unemployment. It was a shield to which it was very difficult to get any message, including a message that people didn't want to hear, absent the actions of the president, President Obama and the Democratic Congress. It would be 15% unemployment. Well, if you don't have a job, then that doesn't what does that mean to you? You know, it's just, thanks a lot, but I don't have a job, and your message isn't resonating with me. And the turnout was very low. So that's why we lost that election. We didn't lose it because people voted for health care. Nonetheless, the people who lost came back right after the election and said, "With whatever has happened in this election, I'm glad that I can always say that I supported health care for all Americans as a right, not a privilege." And I'm hearing from many of those people today who are just thrilled about to be part of it. They know we came here to do a job, not to hold a job, and I don't subscribe to the idea that election was about health care.
Here we have the John Roberts, who was the subject of a bitter confirmation fight, bitterly opposed by most Democrats, including Senator Obama, upholding this law and preserving the legacy. I wonder if you think there's any lesson to be learned about partisanship and the way in which Congress does its job for or the American people or not.
I don't think that this is about bipartisanship. I think this is about the Constitution of the United States. I also think that we have a situation here where the Republicans do not believe in public role, and so they're not going to be for anything, not health care, not Medicare, not Medicaid, not Social Security, not clean air, clean water, food safety, public education, public housing, public transportation, none of it. They have a right-wing, very fringe element over the edge, over the side of anti-government orthodoxy, and bless their hearts, they're true to what their beliefs are, and their beliefs are to be opposed to any initiatives that do some of the things I just mentioned. And that's a very big difference of opinion. And without being fearmongers and saying this is what who these people are, we have to make sure people understand the different impacts it has on their lives.